time. We come into that way when there just seems to be no way out. There just seems to be no ability, no strength, no power. We come into that way when we wonder, am I a child of God or am I not? Am I right in this thing or am I deceived? Is there anything to all of this? I think these precious preachers, they may bear me out in this, that sometimes we'll even get into such a way that we say, oh, there's no use to go out here and preach. It just won't do any good. I can't preach in the first place in some way or another. It just seems like my words fall out like stones right before me. And I wonder, and I've said so many times, I marvel that there's any time when God's people ever do receive anything from me that is ever of any comfort or blessing to them. But always, some way or another, then faith comes. You know, faith is that thing, that arm of man that reaches out and lays hold. And as the brother says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's one of the three mighty men that God has put in your army. It's the faith. I used to think that salvation of faith there referred to heaven to come, but you know I don't believe it does. I believe you're saved by grace through faith right now. In some way it's through faith that we lay hold upon the precious promises of God. It's by faith that we receive Him, and it's by faith that we rejoice in His promises. And you know there's never a time that faith is not able to break through and bring something to drink out of the well. Have you, by faith, been able to drink of that water of the well which is by the gate Bethlehem? You've drunken of that water, spiritual joys, pardon of your sins. You have a sweet hope in Christ, and that's the second man. There's the other man. There's the second man. The first man in David's army is faith. That second mighty man in David's army is hope. You know, some way you have him in your army, too. I don't wonder that when the Lord rolled back to heaven and showed the old prophet that great host to there, he said, they that are with you are more than they that are against you. And you know, just those three men are able to overcome all the enemies that will ever rise up against you. Faith and hope is the two of them. Paul tells us we're saved by hope. What does he mean by that? We'll reach heaven by hope? No, indeed. We're saved by hope now. I believe that's an experimental salvation that Paul's talking about. It is that hope that comes as the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And it's anchored within the veil. And somehow I love the language of, I said so many times, these folks who came with me, they'll know that I've stated this so many times, but it's a wonderful thought to me. One of the writers in the Old Testament said, turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Oh, I love that, because some way it tells me that hope has you prisoner. You don't have hope. Hope has you. And you know, hope will keep you. Hope has you a prisoner, and it will hold you in its grasp, and it will never let you go. Because it is that hope of God given unto the poor sinner of earth, and it's not of his manufacture, it's not of his sustenance, and it's not of his completeness or fullness. God is the author and the finish of it all. It's God's hope in you. And it'll never let you go. I said, so we sing that song sometimes. Sometimes my hope seems so little, I'd almost lay it by. But I want you to notice there's a word in there, almost. Almost lay it by. You can't lay it by, precious ones. It won't let you. Because God has purposed that this is one of the means of salvation of His people here in time. And by salvation, I mean experimentally speaking. That's one of the mighty men that breaks beyond. Have you ever come to a place when there seemed to be no outlet? There just wasn't any way through? You sat by the side of your family and your friends in sickness? Some way, what kept you there? What enabled you to be sustained through it all? Wasn't it hope? Some way, somehow, as the children of Israel were cast into, the three children were cast into the fiery furnace, and as Daniel was cast into the den of lions, why, they went in there with hope, didn't they? That the hope of their God was with them. You know, it doesn't please the Lord to enable His people to always escape the trials and testing of this world. No, some way we walk in hope. And hope is that anchor that there'll be a better day. There'll be a better time. We're looking to something better than this. Yes, that's the second mighty. No much could be said, but I want to be brief. What's the third mighty man? Why, love. You know, Paul wrote in one place, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, is charity. Isn't it the love of God in your heart and love of God for you that is the mighty man that takes you on through it? Blessed is that man that walks in the light of God's love. Because some way, somehow, as he walks, he beholds that all things that come, somehow they're just all right, because he's in the love of God. You know, it has been said indeed, we rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience worketh experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why not? Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. You know, I pity that individual that walks through this life without any love of his human beings, of his human fellow men. That child that has no family, another father to love him. That one husband who has his wife, they have no love. All love is the thing that just somehow takes away the gloom of all things here. And when this child of God, he can walk in trouble and tribulation. He can feel the chastening of the Lord. And you know, I've said so many times, if the Lord is chastening you, perhaps even at this very moment, then get down on your knees and thank him for it, because somehow it shows he loves you. He's dealing with you as a child, because the Lord chasteneth them whom he loveth. And if you're without chastening, precious one, then are ye bastards and not sons. But some way, isn't it true that as we walk through, we can say with the one of old, if God be for us, who then can be against us? And in the love of God, all things are worked together for good. So that love of God that's there, he walks in it. He's overshadowed by it. So there's your three mighty men in David's army. Faith, hope, and love. They broke through, not quickly, here and finally. They got to the well. David couldn't, but they could. And they took of the water which was by the gate and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Oh, some would say, well, isn't that ungrateful on the part of David? These three mighty men broke through this army and brought him some water, and then he poured it out to the Lord. Oh, dear ones, can't you see what David did here? When the Lord is blessing you, when some way that faith is there laying hold upon the mercy and the goodness of God, you're rejoicing in his promises, when somehow that hope is there as the anchor of the soul, and you're just lifted up in. And somehow when you're basking in the sunlight of God's love, then it is that you pour it all out before the Lord. That's when you come in thanksgiving and mercy and praise, and you just give him all the honor and the glory that there is. He poured it out before the Lord, and there's when the Lord is truly praised and truly honored, when that water which he gives is poured out before him, and he supplies it. And he'll supply someone to bring it to you, and he'll enable you to pour it out. May God bless you. Thank you.